This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, per usual, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And what a program we have coming at you right now here on a Friday. We'll recap Thursday night football as the Detroit Lions get it done over the Dallas Cowboys. And what a football game that turned out to be. Thank God. Maybe we're back here out of the month of November, off to a very good start. We'll recap it all, then we'll move onward and upward. We'll check in on the injury report. We do have some injuries trickling out here on a Friday afternoon. For example, a big quarterback update in D.C., which I'll get to in this segment. But next segment coming up, Ben Stevens, College Football Conference Championship Best Bets. Ben, of course, from the Game Day show here on Saturdays on V. We'll check in with our guy Jake Tribby of FantasyPoints.com. He's all over your good DFS plays, and it certainly applies to fantasy and the prop world. And speaking of the prop world, I've got my normal assortment of props for this coming weekend, week 14. I made a nice even 10 for the props. We do have a best bet, as always, coming off a loss last week. I think I lost track of our record. I think we're 8-4. It's still a very, very good record on the best bet. So we'll hopefully emerge victorious. And I also do have some touchdown props. I know it's not National Tight End Week, but it is for me because I'm taking 4 tight end touchdown props. Anytime touchdown, dudes, we'll get to those as well. Always remind you here at the top to make sure you're downloading the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. Well, let's take a look. We do get it done. We were about, I think it's 13 Isaac Tesla yards away from another perfect night. And that would have been 7-0, but we'll take it. We will absolutely take it. And as I mentioned yesterday on the show, I did put Tesla last on the list. So this is why I do 5-6 props, so people can do some parlays. Well, if you did a 5-leg parlay with the top 5, you win. If you did a 3-legger, you won. If you did a 4-legger, you won. So that's good. Good stuff. But I think the best call of the night, there were a lot of good calls, quite frankly. It's nice to see the action go down as logic dictates, basically. I'm not trying to do anything fancy over here. I'm just using a lot of common sense, and it held true to form. Now, the one thing real quick that, you know, I'm going to get to what I was most proud of, but the one thing real quick that was a little bit of a surprise was George Pickens was out of it last night. You could see it in the body language. You could see it on his face. 5 grabs for only 37. And he was needed at the end of the game because CeeDee Lamb was concussed. But we did get that correct. Now, sometimes you are lucky when you try to handicap the matchup. In this case, I was thinking that the outstanding corner, DJ Reed, would be on Pickens. See, what happens a lot of times when you kind of get that wrong is what they'll do is they'll put Reed on Lamb on his own when they're in man coverage, and then they'll double or bracket the other guy, basically, which is probably what happened, but it didn't matter because CeeDee Lamb, because it was also a good schematic matchup. It wasn't just the individual matchup for Lamb. The schematic matchup came through, but yeah, that was nice to see. It was unfortunate for the grinder that Jake Ferguson got the over. By the way, it wasn't a very good day for Jake Ferguson. He had a rough night, fumbled and all that, but he does go over. But I think the best call, and look, it was only 6 damn carries, but I barked up that tree yet again on Dave Montgomery, and we did hit the Thursday night special here. 50 plus yards. It wasn't a massive payday. I actually was, my second choice, believe it or not, was CD going over 100, which he did. But I just felt very, very good about it. And look, I can't believe he got it while only six carries. But what did I say yesterday about the longer runs that he busts off? Well, he scored the 35-yarder, and he got the prop on that one run, didn't he? That's nothing better than that, baby. And I love – you knew it was we were going to be off to a good start when – on the first drive, I went in on the over on Gibbs's receiving because, again, all these things are corresponding, by the way. I didn't think Gibbs would crush on the ground. He averaged 3.6 yards a carry, so I thought David Montgomery would do better on the ground. He averaged 10 yards a carry, but correspondingly, you got to get Gibbs the ball. You got to get him in space. And we opened the game with a 26-yard grab over the middle. That was fantastic. We got like 70% of the prop on that. And even my guy, Tesla, did score, and he almost scored again. And that would have been absolute perfection if he did get that second tutty, because I believe that would have gotten him over the yardage as well. But very successful night, and we'll try to keep it going. We're not going to get arrogant, that's for sure, because the National Fake You Out League will smack us down if we do, no doubt about it. So without any further ado, I think we're done on the review mode. Everything else. Oh, Jared Goff. That was a nice one, too. 31.5. Actually, we didn't get it by that much, quite frankly. So maybe we got a little lucky there. That's probably file that under a close win, which are rare for yours truly. But another good day for Goff here. Hey, thank God for Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. I mean, we're struggling with most of these quarterbacks out there. They can't read through a damn zone. It's like, can they even throw for 200 yards? But these guys, they combine for like almost 700. So shout out to them. And shout out to Ryan Flournoy. I believe that's how he is enunciating it. Al Michaels was nailing that on the regular last night. 13 targets, 9 grabs for a buck 15 and a touchdown. I actually picked him up. We were talking about the Fantasy Points Dynasty League yesterday with the grinder Tom Brawley. I picked his ass up in that league in like week one. Have I started him? Of course not. But it's a dynasty league where we're keeping like, I don't know, 22 players indefinitely. He might have a chance here, but we'll see about George, by the way. And I'm wondering about George. I'm like, boy, he was out of it in the game last night. And you're wondering, or I am at least, like maybe the talk of the franchise tag had kind of rattled him. I don't know. Because my man was on a mission every week up until last night to ball out and put his best foot forward. And it was very apparent. And they're like, oh, they got to pay this man. Somebody's got to pay this man. And maybe we took a little step back there. And maybe, just maybe, he was a little distracted by the talk of the franchise tag this week. That's kind of weird. You trade for a guy in the last year of his rookie deal. So it's a one-year rental. And then you franchise his ass? Okay. So we shall see how that plays out. But I got to give credit to the Cowboys, though. You know, they do draft pretty darn well, and they do make some pretty darn good moves here. I'm just looking at – I actually went back, and I go into these wormholes and look through teams' drafts and all that, and they're all spotty. But, man, the Cowboys are – they're good. I feel like I would be drafting similar to them, you know, splashy. But I think the best thing that they do, and I would do the exact same thing, is they just devote these resources to the offensive line. By the way, I believe they've used three number one picks on an offensive lineman named Tyler, that's weird. But hey, I give them all the credit in the world for doing that, because that you just start your team with the offensive line in the trenches. Just start it there. Forget about everything else. If you just got a new expansion, you have a franchise. Congratulations. Where you're starting? Trenches, period. And when you're starting on the offensive line, when you're starting on offense, you are starting on the offensive line for sure. We saw that with Indy about a decade ago. It was unbelievable. It was fantastic. Well, news, notes, and nuggets here. We have a couple of minutes, not much, but we don't have a ton coming down the line, but some pretty big news here. Dan Quinn has said today that Jaden Daniels, so much for shutting them down for the season. I mean, we do have professional football games to play for another, 6 weeks? Why wouldn't you play Jaden Daniels if he's ready to go? And apparently he is. So he will start against the Vikings. That game, I think, should shoot out. You know, Minnesota's defense really played well last week. They did a number on Jaxon Smith and Jigba. But I like the schematic matchup. Spoiler alert for Deebo Samuel and Zachary Ertz. And McLaurin is no slouch as well. In Cincinnati, T. Higgins cleared the protocol, so he will play in week 14 against the Bills. Good, because I'm in on an over with the Bills in receiving, which we'll get to. It's not a big number at all, but we want to keep them throwing, and Joe Burrow and the Bengals should probably do just that. Marvin Harrison will not play. Captain Buzzkill this week against the Rams, who are in danger of missing a corner. So I would probably start Michael Wilson. I considered a prop, but I didn't get the news on Marvin Harrison until it just came down the line. So, but I would start Michael Wilson this week in fantasy. Bill head coach Sean McDermott said Dalton Kincaid still dealing with the knee and the hamstring, still limited all week, going to be questionable, going to be maybe a game time decision. Maybe he even gets ruled out again late in the week, or maybe we do go and get that beautiful matchup against Cincinnati. Todd Archer of ESPN reporting CeeDee Lamb is in fact in the concussion protocol. We'll talk college football on the other side, but first, for those who haven't joined VSiN Pro yet, we have extended our Black Friday special for one final week for just $60. Full VSiN Pro access through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, the AI prop tools everyone's been talking about, the 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus full coverage of every major sport from now through March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. And with our college football playoffs betting guide dropping next week, the timing couldn't be better. The Black Friday special ends after Sunday, so don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, coming at you next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, going to the progressive guest line, Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN. And I love the name of the show because it's very self-explanatory. Live Bet Saturday. It airs on Saturday during the games, and he's on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens, and he's ready and he's fired up for conference championship weekend. How are you, Ben?
John, I'm doing very well. Yes, like you said, fired up for conference championship weekend. It's not just Live Bet Saturday. It could be Live Bet Friday. We've got a quadruple header of conference title games starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on this Friday night. So conference championship weekend, all nine leagues will crown a champion, some with college football playoff implications, Heisman Trophy races as we end out 2025 in college football.
Yeah, this is an exciting time of the year, no doubt about it. And speaking of tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, the American Athletic Conference Championship number 24, North Texas at number 20, Tulane. I was curious about North Texas. I had to actually go and look up who their most famous alum is, and that would be Hall of Famer Mean Joe Green, who probably retired when you were negative 26. But neither here nor there, you like the running back Caleb Hawkins to hit 21 plus yards receiving. I see he hit 28 last week, and he's got at least one grab, mostly multiple grabs in his last four or five games. What else do you see here with Hawkins?
Yeah, John, it's one of those reasons we look at Caleb Hawkins, who has been so dynamic on the ground for UNT and the most explosive offense in college football, first nationally in both points and yards per game in 2025. And their quarterback is the FBS passing leader in Drew Mestemaker, throwing for more than 3,800 yards. He is under the tutelage of Eric Morris, the head coach of the Mean Green, soon to be the head coach in Stillwater of Oklahoma State. This is what he does on the offensive side. And Tulane on the ground, pretty stout. But Tulane in the secondary is where I think Mestemaker and North Texas can take some advantage. Tulane has played two other quarterbacks that rank in the top 10 nationally this year in passing yards. It was against FAU and Caden Veltkamp. He threw for 375, albeit three interceptions and a loss to the Green Wave. And against Duke, Tulane won that game as well, but Darian Mensa, the signal caller for the Blue Devils, throwing for 313 yards. Mestemaker will have some success, and I think he will look for his back, Caleb Hawkins, out of the backfield. 21-plus receiving yards, John, is the way I play it for the American Championship game tonight. In New Orleans, the winner more than likely advances to the College Football Playoff. I did think you were going to say most famous alum of North Texas. Maybe not known for his football accolades, but for his beer drinking and his wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, I'll fire one back at you. You may have seen it. It is one of the most iconic commercials of all time. But if you haven't, go on YouTube and check in Mean Joe Green Coke commercial. Mm-hmm. From 1979, that's a very legendary commercial. It's worth a minute of your life. Well, second on your list, Sun Belt Championship, Troy at number 25, James Madison. Yeah, James Madison has kind of been a thing here for a couple of years. You like Wayne Knight, who played Newman on Seinfeld. This guy can do it all. 90-plus rushing yards. Of course, I'm kidding, but they do have the same name. And it looks like this dude is flirting with that number on the regular here. 85 last week, 126, 94, 87. What do you see with Wayne Knight, a.k.a. Newman?
You said he can do it all, John, and he quite literally can. He is third in the country in all-purpose yards this year, not just over 1,000 on the ground, as a receiver out of the backfield for James Madison. Also as their main punt returner and kick returner, he has been exciting and explosive to watch this season. Three of our 19 FBS programs that average at least 200 yards per game on the ground this season in 2025 are hailing from the Sun Belt. The best is JMU, sixth best in the country, nearly 240 yards per game. Troy and JMU have not played yet this year in Sun Belt competition, but Troy has seen the other two teams from the Sun Belt in Texas State and Old Dominion that average at least 200 yards. In those games, John, Troy allowed 350-plus to the Bobcats of Texas State and nearly 320 on the ground to ODU. I think Wayne Knight has a huge game. As you can see, it's a huge spread for a conference championship, 23.5 in favor of the Dukes. JMU gets it done. JMU gets it done emphatically, and they make one last statement, perhaps, to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, that if Duke plays spoiler in the ACC championship game, it should be JMU as that fifth highest-ranked conference champ advancing to the CFP.
Ben Scott Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, on the air with us right now on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. And by the way, if Wayne Knight doesn't come through and we lose, then we know how to react. Newman. That's right. The show's been off the air for 28 years, and I'm still talking about it. Well, let's move on to the Big Ten Championship. Number two, Indiana, at number one, Ohio State. Your Indiana alum, as far as I'm concerned, my QB would be Trent Green, and he would be throwing to Antoine Randall-L. But you have Max Clair of Ohio State, the tight end, hitting 30 receiving yards. He did this against Rutgers a couple of weeks ago with ease. So what do you see here with Max Clair? 30 seems extremely doable.
Very doable, John. And I think it's a Heisman Trophy implication to the Big Ten Championship. Two of our three shortest prices to win that Heisman is the favorite right now in Indiana's Fernando Mendoza. And just a couple of cents behind, it's Ohio State's QB in Julian Sayin. I think the winner of the Big Ten title, leading their team to a victory, also will end up winning the Heisman Trophy next Saturday night in New York City. So in part with that, Julian Sayin looking for his Heisman moment in the Big Ten championship game. Yes, he has Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate back at his disposal, but his tight end and Max Clair has become one of his top targets. John, you mentioned the target share against Rutgers, his best day for Ohio State. Seven grabs, 105 yards, and a touchdown. Max Clair has had at least four grabs in six of the final eight for Ohio State's offense this year. As you focus on Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, which the IU secondary will do, I think Max Clair becomes that safety blanket of sorts for Julian Sayin. 30-plus receiving yards in the Big Ten title game tomorrow night in Indy.
And last but not least, the ACC championship, Duke at Virginia. Where's Coach K? No, that's wrong sport. Jamari Taylor, and he retired, out of Virginia, 90-plus rushing yards. You like that one there. He just missed it last time out against Virginia Tech, but it looks like he did it against Duke, right? So is that your angle? What do you see here with Taylor, 90-plus rushing yards?
That he did against Duke. 18 carries, 133 yards, and two rushing scores. But it's not just that one individual performance, John, on the road in Wallace-Wade back a few weeks ago, that I think he is going to repeat that in the ACC championship game tomorrow night in Charlotte. Duke has not been great defensively this year. Fourth worst scoring defense in the ACC, allowing nearly 29.5 points per game. That is very contradictory to the staple of a Manny Diaz team, led by defense first, led by defensively up front in that front seven along that D-line. Jamari Taylor has been an absolute spark for this Virginia offense this season. That game against Duke, as you alluded to, 80-plus in his last four. He has been that consistent bell cow for UVA. I expect that to be the case tomorrow night in Charlotte in the ACC title game as well. So against a struggling Blue Devils defense, Virginia makes a statement. Virginia wins the ACC crown and, of course, kind of quells some of the chaos in the conference this year, earning a spot in the college football playoff behind their veteran running back in Jamari Taylor.
Well, and for what it's worth, which is probably nothing, I'm voting Danny Dimes as the best Duke player. Maybe not. That may actually be Sonny Jurgensen, who I actually did not even know went to Duke, quite frankly. They have a few more players than you would think. They've got about five or six players in the NFL right now. Plus, of course, the great Brian Baldinger. Shout out to Baldy. But shout out to Ben Stevens, co-host of I'm going to start reading now. Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, and he's on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Thank you, sir, and enjoy the college football conference championships and all that. Good luck with the plays.
John, thanks. Same to you. Enjoy a great weekend.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Ben Scott Stevens right there on the X Machine. And when we return, we will check in with our other guy, Jake Tribby of Fantasy Points, see what he has cooking for this weekend, week 14 in DFS. But first, if you think you can out-handicap one of our own, well, here is your chance. First Bet is giving you a free chance to take down VSiN's Mike Somich in a five-race showdown on Saturday, December 6th. We're talking the H. Allen Jerkins at Gulfstream and four graded stakes at Aqueduct, including the G2 Cigar Mile. I'm having trouble reading right here. Just submit your $2 to win, place mythical picks, and try to end the day with more money than Mike. Go to first.com/VSiN. Free to enter, bragging rights included.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. A Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. I've gathered myself, and I think I can read now. Jake Tribby, NFL DFS, UFL analyst, staff writer over at Fantasy Points on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. He is live on the Progressive hotline or guest line right now. What is up, Jake? Happy holidays, sir. How's it going?
It's going quite well. Really excited to finish this DFS season strong and hope everyone enjoyed Thanksgiving.
I actually had a pretty rough DFS week last week. Was that a bad week last week? Please tell me yes, real quick. Or no. Was it a good week?
I would say the main slate was pretty rough overall. I thought the Thanksgiving games were really fun. I was close to a good week myself on Thanksgiving, but yeah, the main slate was rough.
Oh, on Thanksgiving, not to talk about my DFS teams, because I just found out 2 weeks ago I could do it. That's how out of it I am on DFS. But I had four teams that averaged 100, that all scored over 140 points on Thanksgiving. That was fantastic. But No, the after that it was terrible. But we can move onward and upward, and let's move on to your list. And I like this. Tyler Shuck is on your list. I've been a Shuck guy. The guy can throw a football very well, unlike a lot of guys out there. I know he's kind of all over the map here, but only 4,600. That's got to be one of the cheapest quarterbacks on the board. He runs a little bit as well. What do you see against Tampa?
Yeah, I think Shuck is a really great volume play. He leads all quarterbacks in rush attempts over the last 2 weeks with 13. Four of those have come inside the 10-yard line. Obviously offers that legit rushing upside, and because the Saints just always seem to be trailing, the pass ball volume has been great too. Only Jacoby Brissett has more pass attempts over the last 2 weeks, and Tampa Bay ranks as a top four schedule-adjusted matchup for opposing quarterbacks since week 9. Also, the Buccaneers are one of the league's biggest pass funnels. So Tyler Shuck, great volume bet in a great matchup. And like you said, clearly too cheap at just 4,600.
Do you think, by the way, that he could potentially, this is a big ask, support three receivers? Because Devon Valet clearly got up to speed in the offense. And the last 2 weeks, he's been good, I would think, at Juwan Johnson's expense. Is it possible that Shuck can support three guys?
I think there's enough volume there that he absolutely could. Personally, if I'm playing Shuck in DFS, I don't think I'm going to lean into a triple stack, just given how much this offense has struggled with efficiency. So if I'm playing Shuck, I'm probably pairing him with Olave and then one of Vele or Juwan Johnson. But I think over the course of the season, you'll see all three of those guys be viable fantasy options.
You've got James Cook here. We've got the Bills with a pretty high implied total. They're 5.5-point favorites. As you know, if they win, it's probably because of James Cook, as great as Josh Allen has been, but that's kind of been their identity more so than Allen doing his Superman things. So what else here do you see with Jimmy Cook?
Yeah, James Cook, just 7,800 this week, and this is sort of the quintessential James Cook spot. We always want to play him when we expect the Bills to win. They're favored this week. James Cook sees an incredible 163% boost to his fantasy points per snap when leading since 2023. Also draws a great matchup here. Cincinnati is the league's single softest schedule-adjusted defense for opposing running backs, and no team has allowed more rushing yards per carry on zone rushing concepts this year. James Cook, by the way, has averaged 5.7 yards per carry on zone rush attempts this season. So it's a great schematic matchup, a great on paper matchup for James Cook, and obviously a good game environment as well.
I really seriously considered the over here for the next segment, by the way. It's not on there. I think it was at 99.5, but I'd be pretty stunned if he didn't get to 100 yards in this one. Next up, Bucky Irving kind of threw him out there. Maybe not obviously a full workload, but he looked good. And he is just so much more dynamic than at least Rashad White. And I'm a Rashad White guy. Never thought he was dynamic, good football player and all that. But Bucky's a different cat here. And looks like you're thinking they'll lean into him a little bit more with a game under his belt up against those Saints in that game. They certainly, I'm sure, see a lot of running back carries on the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Bucky Irving's workload increasing here is a big part of this play. We saw Chris Godwin go from a 38% route share to a 60% route share from his first game back to his second game back from injury over these last couple of weeks. And Bucky Irving just earned 19 touches and 15.4 expected fantasy points, despite being on a snap count last week. And now this is a huge game for Tampa Bay in terms of raw playoff win probability. Obviously, Carolina right on their heels in the NFC South. So I would not be shocked if Irving was back to the 69% of backfield expected fantasy points, or maybe even more, that he earned before injury. He's not really projecting well enough to be considered like a cash game play this week in DFS, but looks like a great tournament play. And at least right now, isn't a guy who's projecting for a ton of ownership. And I mean, we know he's incredibly explosive with the ball in his hands.
And no Mike Evans and no McMillan. So they're probably returning next week, which kind of does lead me to, like, you may want to, if you can still do any trades, like, you know, maybe trade for Baker Mayfield, because he looks like he's healthier and he's going to have his full complement of weapons as soon as next week, which would be kind of absurd, because now we're talking Big Mike, Ibuka, T. Tez Johnson, McMillan, Godwin. And Godwin looked great last week, so they're pretty loaded here. Moving on, Green Bay, they're always pretty loaded, but the cream, it has risen to the top, and Christian Watson is that, and he is, in my opinion, the one. He commands the ball, and he's balling. So you like him this week against Green Bay, Jalen Johnson or not, you're not worried about it. I know there are some good angles here on Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great matchup for Watson. He's earned at least a 31% target share in back-to-back games. The Bears have allowed the fifth most receiving yards per game on deep throws, so throws traveling 20-plus yards downfield. Christian Watson currently leads the NFL in catchable deep targets per game. We've also seen Jordan Love's deep throw rate increase fairly dramatically since Watson returned to the lineup. Bears have also allowed the fifth most DraftKings fantasy points per game to opposing wide receiver ones, and that's exactly what Watson has been for the past month, leading the team in route participation in each of the past four games and in first read target share in each of the last three games. At just 5,200, love me some Christian Watson this week.
And I love your last pick here this week. I've seen the schematics of it all, but I also have the gift of sight. And if you watch Tyler Warren, I mean, the guy's unbelievable out there, just balling. 5,000 up against the Jags. They've been bad against tight ends. What else you got on Warren?
Yeah, I think it's fair to question the ceiling for tournaments here. He has a season high of just 18.3 DraftKings fantasy points, but I do think this could be the spot for a true Tyler Warren spike week. Jacksonville gives up the third most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. They also run zone at the eighth highest rate. Warren averages 2.5 yards per out run against zone, which not only leads the Colts, but actually ranks 11th best among all players. This is a bit of a tricky tight end week with Trey McBride priced all the way up at 8,000. So I've been looking more at Tyler Warren at 5K, Brock Bowers at 6K as the tight ends I really want to play this week.
Jake Tribby, fantasypoints.com. We'll follow you on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Tyler Shuck this week up against the Bucks. James Cook against those weak Bengals. Bucky Irving up against, let's be honest, not a very good offense in New Orleans. Christian Watson up against the Bears. Green Bay basically owns them. And then Tyler Warren. Great stuff as always. Jake, we'll talk to you next week. Good luck with the plays.
Appreciate it, John.
And while we have a moment, there he goes. While we have a moment, let me pop out quickly, and we'll get these out of the way. It's not National Tight End Week, but I'm in on four tight end anytime touchdown props, starting with Mark Andrews, a.k.a. Mandrews. Steelers underneath funnel, allowing the second most receiving yards on throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They run man coverage at a top seven clip. That's Andrews' jam. He's over 2 yards per route run against man. Now, Dalton Kincaid, maybe hold off on this. I don't even almost care what the odds are. It's going to be pretty good. I think it's like plus 190 now. Like, obviously, you got to make sure. Well, I guess if he's inactive, it'll be a moot point here. But if he goes, this is the matchup. And I do believe he'll score. Darren Waller, top six in targets per game inside the 10. How about this one? New York allows the second most receiving touchdowns per game, and they've allowed a touchdown on 50% of opposing pass attempts from inside the 10, which explains how Waller got 2 touchdowns against them earlier this year. And then finally, Zachary Ertz at plus 245. Waller was plus 215. He has a good too high safety beater, and the Vikings run that at the league's highest clip. He gets a 23% boost to his targets per route run. The Vikings have allowed a top 3 target share to opposing tight ends. He's hit 4+ receptions in 5 straight. He hasn't scored in a while because it's probably Mariota, but we get Jaden Daniels back. And when we return, my official picks for Sunday's action here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. You'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription at VSiN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this final segment on a Friday. Happy Friday. Let's pop it out here. I've got 10 player props that I am in on. And, you know, it's a little bit of a weird year. I almost feel like after week 13, the books are like, here you go, guys. Here's some easy ones for you. Some layups for you. I've got some lower totals here that I feel very confident. Like, I hope we don't get tricked on some of these because they're almost a little too good to be true. Or again, maybe they're just, here you go, guys. Merry Christmas. But we do have the best bet that will pop out at the end. But I'm going to start with Zay Flowers. Steelers run single high looks at a top five rate, 60%. And Flowers gets a 50% boost to his yards per route run against single high compared to two high. So I think we can get to 57 damn yards. I understand Lamar struggling a little bit. They're due to do something in the passing game with Flowers. He's due. They also use the seventh highest rate of man coverage, and he averages a strong 2.15 yards per route run. They're also an underneath funnel, allowing the second most receiving yards on throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, but the 10th fewest on the deep ball. Flowers kind of does both, but he cleans up underneath plenty. They give up the fourth most receiving yards to outside receivers. Flowers produced in both games against them last year. 2 for 39 in a tutty on a big game, but he scored, and then he had 5 for 100. So he's very, very due, and he'll also see Asante Samuel, who just joined the lineup, and he's given up a pretty massive, very massive, 0.79 fantasy points per route run, granted on a very small sample size. Here's one, and that Flowers one is a little low. I mean, let's be honest here, 57? I mean, come on, you're a number one receiver on the outside. I understand that, you know, they're what, 5-6 point favorites, but you got to do something here in a passing game. I mean, Lamar's got to throw for 200. Next up, I mean, this one looks, it's, I feel like it's stealing. Ty Johnson. Ty goes to the runner over 15.5, ironically, receiving yards, because Ty is not that great of a runner, ironically, or unironically. Cincinnati gives up the second most receiving yards per game to running backs. We could probably end there. Over the last 5 weeks, though, they give up the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game only. So we're isolating just the receiving work for the running backs, and we're also not just raw looking at the numbers, schedule adjusted. So it's a little bit more meaningful. Over the last 5 weeks, he has caught 12 of 13 targets, 92% catch rate. And he's also averaging 13.5 yards a catch. So he has hit this number on just his longest reception in many of his last three games, in three of his last four, actually. You do worry a little bit about a lack of opportunity, but it's Burrow and the Bengals, and they're going to have T. Higgins. So this could be a back-and-forth, higher-scoring affair. And if so, this is Lock City here. I mean, come on. 16 yards, he's crushing pretty much. He's got 2 to 3 catches in 5 straight games, by the way, and he's hit 16 yards in 4 straight. So I think we're good. Brenton Strange, nobody remembered his name this summer except me. He was my number one sleeper tight end. And right now, Brenton Strange ranks second at the position behind only Tucker Kraft in yards per route run. He averages a team-high 53.3 yards per game in his healthy games. Indy gives up the fifth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. They have allowed the most receiving yards per game on throws within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's 117.8. Strange averages a team-high 19.4 target share in this area of the field. And finally, see, we stack up the positives. You know, you have your pros and your con list. And when the pros completely win out, that's when we go in on a guy. The Jaguars face a Colts front that's generated the NFL's fifth lowest pressure rate. little improvement over the last 5 weeks. Strange's target per route run grows from just 0.07 when Trevor Lawrence faces pressure to 0.27 when he doesn't. That's nearly quadrupling. So Brenton Strange, again, it's like throwing to a couch. Very inviting. 42.5 over at BetMGM. We'll go over there. Debo Samuel. I've been a Debo guy from day one. I actually had him as a good pick this summer and a target and all that. He's actually been good. I didn't think he'd do as well as he did last week, but the Vikings deployed two high looks at the league's highest clip. That is his jam. Looking at the five games in which Debo and Terry McLaurin were active, Samuel against two high has 0.28 targets per route run compared to McLaurin's 0.19. So McLaurin drops off 31% against single high, and he sees a 31% decrease to his yards per route run. Debo, meanwhile, is a very good 2.54 yards per route run on 131 routes against the shell. I know they're going to get Noah Brown back, so they are a little crowded, but, you know, Debo's hit 64 receiving yards in back-to-back games, and now we get Jaden Daniels. And also, the Vikings give up the eighth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers the last 5 weeks. They'll see a lot of Josh Metellus, who notably gives up a robust 0.45 fantasy points per route run. So we're looking good with Daniels there. And I mean, come on, 36 yards. I actually think the Viking offense is going to show some signs of life. Got to get an under in here. And while this is annoying because you can get it on one catch, I'm still going to go for it. Keon Coleman, I think he stinks. I've never liked him. He's a limited player. Based on alignment numbers, he's set to see a lot of DJ Turner, who has erased guys this year on the outside, giving up just 0.17 fantasy points per route run, and they give up the fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up on the left side. That is Coleman's side, and that is Turner's side, and that is why no one does crap on that side. Next up, Devon Achane, as I've mentioned. You know, I know Brett Whitefield went in on this as well. I totally agree. Because I've been saying this for a week or two now, like, oh my God, is Devon Achane completely taken over the offense? It's all him. You can't even start Jalen Waddle anymore. I mean, Tua is like a game manager. Just hand it off, man. Achane has ripped off his third straight game with 120 plus yards the last 3 weeks. He's been the identity. He's been the focus. The Quinnen Williams-less Jets defense has allowed the sixth highest explosive run rate since he was traded, and they are three-point favorites, and Achane has averaged 25 DraftKings fantasy points in wins. New York allows the ninth most rushing yards per game, and Achane got him for 99 yards rushing in this matchup last September. Another one here I added on fantasy points on Saturday and won, Trevor Lawrence over 14.5 rushing yards. The Colts have been the league's fourth most extreme pass funnel, so he should be throwing it a lot. They're not giving up a ton of production on the ground to quarterbacks, but they haven't faced many rushing quarterbacks. 2 weeks ago, they gave up four carries to 30 yards to Mahomes. Lawrence has hit this in two of his last three and in five of his last six. We have the fourth highest total left on the board at 46.5, and he's got long runs of 15, 19, 21, and 14 yards in four of his last six. Jonathan Taylor, don't like the matchup on the ground. 56% of his runs on man and gap concepts runs, and the Jags allowed the third fewest yards per carry on those runs. But they give up the eighth most receiving yards to running backs. He's hit 16 yards in 9 of 12. He's hit 10-plus yards receiving in all but one game. Very surprising. He's got two catches in every game. Devin Neal, I added this one over at fantasypoints.com and also won. 16.5 receiving yards. Bucks are a top three pass funnel. Bucks are 8.5 favorites, top five implied total. So we should be throwing a lot if we're New Orleans. Neal has posted 865 receiving in two games since Kamara's been out. And Tampa allows the sixth most, the most receiving yards per game to running back. Stay tuned to stay tuned for Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. And then Mike Palm will check in on that program from Circa Sports. Will Hill shares his sharpest sides, and Zach Cohen breaks down the NFL and NBA betting opportunities heading into this weekend. We only have a couple of seconds here for the best bet. Jackson Smith and Jigba over 91.5 receiving yards. All you need to know is the Falcons have used cover four at a league high 35% over the last four games. JSN has been targeted on 54% of his routes against cover four, a 59% boost, and he's averaging a jaw-dropping 7.43 yards per route run, a 76% boost. So JSN is going to crush this week. Hopefully you do as well. We'll catch you on Monday for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.